What a great song to lead us into communion together. Very fitting, right? In talking about being freed. My chains are gone. I've been set free as we've been able to celebrate our independence as a country this weekend. But most importantly, we're here today to celebrate our freedom in Christ. And very grateful to be together this morning. Hope you guys had a great holiday weekend. We just got back from the beach. My dad turned 60 last Sunday, so we went for his 60th birthday down to the beach to celebrate for the week, and had a blast. Got back last night, and didn't get a chance to see any fireworks because we were just tired. And I showed Brady a few on YouTube just so he could kind of see that. And but in years past, we've done that and gone to see fireworks shows, and they're not quite at that age where they really enjoy it. I mean, they like to see it, but they don't like to hear it. And the booms, I showed him a little clip, I guess, of Duluth on the 3rd, and I don't know if this guy just repeated the finale over and over again in his, but they were just boom, 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 the whole time. Was that how it was?
Yeah, about 11 o'clock.
About 11, yeah, just they kept going. So it's great to be together, great to have the kids in here with us, and I look forward to sharing with you guys a few things that have been on my heart, and hopefully this we'll all be able to connect in some way as we get ready to take communion. Growing up on a farm in a small town in Tennessee, I was given a label. Can any of you guess what that label might be? Redneck. There it is. Thank you. Thank you, Dawson. Now, I do have an accent, right? I try to change it a little bit here and there. I hate listening to myself on video or recordings like this. It's just, I don't like it. I don't like the way that I sound. Anyone else relate to that? You don't like the way you sound? Like, do I sound like that, really? Anyway, but that's who I am. But I was given a label as a redneck. Yet, from my hometown, my boys, I was called another label, and that label was pretty boy by my high school classmates. I was called pretty boy because I didn't listen to Hank Williams Jr. all the time, or chew tobacco, or wear tight, at the time they were blue jeans, not the skinny jeans like they wear today, but these were some tight country blue jeans, you know what I'm talking about, with a huge belt buckle. I didn't wear a cowboy hat or boots to school every day. Now, I owned a cowboy hat and boots because I lived on the farm and rode horses, but I didn't wear those things to school every day like my buddies, and I was called a pretty boy. My senior gift, our town was small. There were 77 people in my graduating class, and I was in the top 10% for that class. Oh, man. It makes myself sound smart, right? But we would do a senior day, and they would give a gift to every senior to personalize that senior and kind of who they've been. And I don't know. I mean, I played sports, all this kind of stuff, but for some reason, this pretty boy label stuck with me. And so what did they give me for my senior gift? Anyone want to take a gander, a little guess? A bow? No, I didn't get a hair bow. A mirror, that would have been good. No, makeup. They gave me makeup because I'm a pretty boy. And I was, some of the teens are in here, what was my senior superlative? Neatest and best dressed. So I did look good, you know, I tried to look good. But anyway, they took it to another level, right? Being labeled by people can be awful, can it? I remember Jim did a communion a few years back and talking a lot about labels. And being labeled by people sometimes isn't very fair. It's hard to escape being labeled. It's hard to overcome that. Can you think of some labels that you've been unfairly called? And keep it PG. Anybody have any labels that you've been given over the years? Anybody want to? All right, bossy. the church lady, been given the ice queen. I'll leave it at that. Miss Perfect. All right, so there's some different labels that we've been given by people. I learned a powerful lesson about labels in an unexpected place. In a children's book. Parents, if we're being honest, how many of you are guilty of skipping over a few pages here or there during bedtime story reading? And just kind of, and the end, that's it. No, there's like 12 more pages. Oh, no, that was it. I'm sorry. It rained the other night, and rain got in your window and just ruined those pages in the middle. They stuck together, and they won't ever come undone. We've all kind of been guilty of that story time. All right, let's fast forward here. I'm all tired, and let's just get to the bottom line, right? But how many of you have read this book, You Are Special? Raise your hand if you've read this book. Oh, man. I thought, oh, for sure, everyone. Okay, I'm going to come ahead and spoil it for you. But I encourage you to read this book. It's called You Are Special by Matt. I had to make it bigger, and obviously you can see the quality's not that great on this picture, but by Max Licato, you say tomato, I say tomato, potato, right? However you want to say Max's last name. A book called You Are Special. And if you need a refresher on this, if you've never heard it, I just want to share with you just a little bit. The main character's name is Punchinello. I'm not going to say it again. No. Megan just said, just say the name and just move on, because it's kind of weird, you know. It's not Pinocchio. It's Punchinello. Yeah, I'm moving. He was one of the Wemmicks. And you're like, okay, well, what's a Wemmick? All right, good, yeah. I want to answer that for you. It's a small wooden people who spend their days sticking gold stars or gray dots on each other. There's Punchinello in the middle. So you see some have gold stars, and then Punchinello has any gold stars? Just gray dots. And Punchinello struggles to deal with the negative labels. The negative labels that he was given, the ugly gray dots that other women stuck on him. And that aha moment really comes in the story when someone tells Punchinello the dots, the labels, only stick if you let them. If you allow them to stay on you, they only stick if you let them. And this is a children's book. But obviously, as you read this as a parent, you read this as an adult, what an amazing lesson for all of us to learn. Labels only stick if I let them. And I'm not just talking about the labels that other people put on you, but I'm also talking about labels that we put on ourselves. We label ourselves, don't we? Here's just a few labels that I've put on myself through the years. I'm a people pleaser. Even last night, and I'm clumsy. Sitting in bed last night going to bed, and I was like, oh, today is kind of the July 5th, 4th kind of casual communion service. I was going to wear shorts, and I had it all picked out, you know, had my... Because basically we just came home and I unpacked and I just said, those look good. And I just put those there. I said, I'll wear those tomorrow instead of putting them up. But I was laying in bed saying, I don't know, I'm speaking tomorrow. So somebody might get offended if I just wear shorts. So I ended up putting this outfit on this morning. But anyway, I'm a people pleaser. I'm insecure. I'm competitive. That brings out my temper. I'm angry. I'm a conflict avoider. Because I'm a people pleaser, I don't like people to be upset with me, and I don't like to deal with conflict. So I would prefer to let it just go unnoticed. I'm lustful. I'm prideful. I'm selfish. When I was in high school, those sins were known, those labels, sins, we'll call them what they are, sins, were known as the big three: lust, pride, and selfishness. I'm too young. It's a label I put on myself. You understand what I mean by that? Like, I'm just young. I don't have a say. I don't have a voice. Do I really have that much influence? That's sometimes I put that label on myself. I'm young. There's other people that are more experienced than me. Who am I? And that's a label that I find myself. And kids, can you catch this movie reference? The list goes on and on to infinity and beyond. What's that movie reference? Toy Story. There we go. I think the parents got that quicker than the kids. Can any of you relate to putting labels on yourself? And maybe some of these fit with you. Maybe there's a whole other set that other people put on you, but then you also put on yourself. Isn't it hard to break free? The song we sang, My Chains Are Gone, I've Been Set Free. Isn't it hard to break free of those labels sometimes that we put on ourselves? The thoughts, the feelings that we have about ourselves. Once a people pleaser, I'm always a people pleaser. You've heard this one before. Once a cheater, always a cheater. And that's just something that just goes. It's like, well, there you are. You are marked. This is who I am. We become enslaved. We become imprisoned by those thoughts, by our way of thinking. It's interesting. Some prisons don't require bars to keep us locked up inside. Some prisons don't require bars to keep us enslaved. All it takes is their perception that they belong there. Just that thought, how they perceive themselves. A soul who believes they can't leave doesn't leave. What happens is we start listening to Satan and his lies. Any of you watch the Flintstones? Right? I mean, you got the Fred and his buddy Barney, and Fred's got the good little angel, and then he's got the little devil over here. It's like the angel saying, go spend time with Wilma, right? Go home, have dinner, play with your kids. This devil's over here saying, go bowling with Barney, you know, stay a little later at work. You know, that kind of mindset, right? I mean, we have those different things that battle back and forth with us, right? The good and the bad. And a lot of times we end up listening to Satan, really, in this, and his lies. And we end up imprisoned, and then we start believing that we are the labels that we put on ourselves. For example, if someone, let's say that someone is me, is messy. Now, I haven't always been messy or unorganized, okay? It's a better way to put it, right? Sounds better. Maybe. I don't know, but it's messy. Growing up, my mom, when we have people come over to our house, my room was like super clean. I was a clean, remember I was a pretty boy, right? So everything in my life had to look like it was together. Anyway, I was organized. My top drawer had my underwear and my socks in it. I said underwear. No. My underwear and socks, but they were folded nicely and organized neatly, by kind of by color. I mean, seriously, I was kind of OCD a little bit, you know. My nephew Bryce is OCD like that. Spending a week with him, you realize, wow, yeah, you are OCD. But my mom would come in and say, this is Josh's room, and you see his trophies from his sports. They were all nicely kneaded and dusted and all that. And he pulls out, look at his drawer, you know. And they show my underwear and socks to all our neighbors and all of our friends that brought over, you know. But over the years, it seems I'm kind of like, I don't know if it's just busy and schedule or whatever, but I'm a little bit more unorganized. I'm a stacker now. Everything's in an order. I know where it is. It's a mess, but I know where it is, right? Can any of you relate to that? Here's the reality. My garage is a disaster. It's a mess right now. But here's the lie. A messy garage means that I'm messy. And you're like, well, no, that's true. But listen, here's the truth. A messy garage doesn't make me a mess. It makes me a child of God who has a messy garage. Right? But you see this perspective and how a lot of times we allow those labels to just completely just, well, I must be a mess. Everything in my garage, I can't even pull in my car. I got a two-car garage and can't get one in, you know? I've had a new van for 3 years. It's not new. Well, anyway, it's a long story. But anyway, it's never got in. I was like, oh, I'll get it cleaned up now because I got a new van. Nope, it's still sitting outside parked. But the reality is that my garage being messy doesn't mean I should sit back and do nothing about it, though, right? It should call me to action. I need to hit the pause button on my life sometimes, schedule some time to get it organized. I know how to get it organized. I can do it. I just need to set the time. So there's a part of it just because, well, okay, sometimes we think I'm just messy, so therefore I'm just always going to be that way. And all right, that's just who I am. And we don't do anything about it, and we just live into that mess, right? We live into that lie, really. But the call is, okay, let's do something about it. But even though we're still going to make a mess, I'm still going to be messy, that doesn't necessarily define who I am. We're our toughest critics, aren't we? How do we break free from those labels? How do we break free from those traps? Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. What I'm going to do now is read a set of three passages just to kind of for us to see what this is all about. Who's really in control of our lives? And who do we need to care about in terms of our thoughts, how we feel about each other, what other people think? That book, You Are Special, the bottom line there at the end is just really seeing that the Maker, the Creator, sees us all as uniquely made, no mistakes, that we're all special. And that's who God is in our lives, is to see ourselves through His eyes. Romans chapter 6 in verse 17. But thanks be to God. Amen. Just thanks be to God. That though you used to be a slave to sin, you wholeheartedly obey the teachings to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin, and you've become slaves to righteousness. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves. Just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. When you were slave to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at the time from the things that you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, and that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. Because of Jesus, we're able to be freed. No condemnation for us that are in Christ. God sent His Son to be that offering for us. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 16. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, this veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Aren't those passages just amazing? That veil, if we turn to Him, that veil is taken away, that separation is gone, that we are together with Him. Who are we? We're with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory and being transformed into His likeness. Reflecting Him, seeing ourselves the way that He sees us. That's what we need to do. Because He sent Jesus to die for us and rose again to overcome death, to overcome sin, I'm freed from those labels. I'm freed from my insecurity. I'm freed from my competitiveness, from being a people pleaser, having a temper, being angry, conflict avoider, lustful, prideful, selfish, too young, and the like. We can take those things off, and we don't have to allow them to stick on us because of what Jesus has done for us, because what God has sent us, and how God sees us as you are my son in whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. See ourselves the way God sees us, to take off these labels that other people and that ourselves put on us. This morning, as we take communion, I want us to thank God. Thanks be to God. And be grateful that we don't have to be enslaved to these labels any longer. Use this time to reflect on what God has done and how He's freed us from those things. Think about one label that you've given yourself. And I want you to pray, God, allow me to take that label off and see myself the way that you see me, as pure, as innocent, as blameless in your sight. Let's pray.